You're listening to ESL Podcast English Cafe, number 202. This is English as a Second Language Podcast English Cafe, episode 202. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Our website is eslpod.com. On it, you can visit our ESL podcast store, which has some additional premium courses in business and daily English that you will enjoy, I think. You can also download the learning guide for this episode and every current episode. The learning guide contains additional information, including a complete transcript of this episode, vocabulary words, definitions, sample sentences, cultural notes, comprehension quizzes, just about everything you need to improve your English. On this cafe, we're going to have another one of our Ask an American segments, where we listen to other native speakers talking at a normal rate of speech, a normal speed. We're going to listen to them and explain what they're talking about. Today, we're going to talk about civility, civility. Or polite behavior. As always, we'll also answer a few of your questions. Let's get started. Our topic on this cafe is civility, or behavior that is polite and respectful. Saying please and thank you, giving your seat to an older person on a bus. These are examples of common civility. Yelling at people and being rude to people are the opposite of being civil. We expect people to be civil, which is the adjective that comes from civility. But unfortunately, as we know, many people are not. One of the founders of the United States, our first president, in fact, George Washington, was very interested in civility, and as a young man, he had a list of 110 rules for being more civil. He didn't invent these rules himself. In fact, they were taken from the late 16th century in France, but he used these rules to try to be more civil, try to be nicer to people. Today we're going to listen to a man talking about something called the Civility Project at the University of Virginia. Virginia is located in the eastern part of the U.S., in the central eastern coast of the United States. The students in the Civility Project are trying to create a list, a similar list of 110 rules, describing what it means to be civil in modern times, in the 21st century. We'll listen first to Professor Theodore Crackle, a historian who came up with the idea for the Civility Project. He's going to give some examples of common rules of civility that are true usually in most cultures. Let's listen first, and then we'll go back and explain what he says.
If someone else is speaking, be quiet and listen to them. If you are walking with other people, stay with them. Don't try to get out in front. If you are trying to talk to other people, talk to them in a proper tone of voice, in a proper volume.
Professor Crackle begins by saying that if someone else is speaking or talking, you should be quiet and listen to them. Don't begin talking if another person is already talking. This is an example of a rule of civility. He also says that if you're walking with other people, you should stay with them and don't try to get out in front. The phrase to try to get out in front means to try to be in front of the other people, to be walking in front of them so that they are behind you. It's much more polite, much more civil to walk with other people instead of trying to lead them. If you're walking with other people, that is, you should be walking normally side by side with them at the same speed that they are walking. This would be especially important if you're a man with your wife or girlfriend. You don't want to be walking in front of her. He says also that if you're trying to talk to other people, talk to them in a proper tone of voice. Your tone of voice is the way that you're speaking. It's the volume, it's how loud you're talking, and also the way that your voice sounds. You can have, for example, an angry tone of voice. I can't believe you just said that. That's my angry tone of voice. Or you can have a friendly tone of voice. I can't believe you just said that. Meaning they said something nice about you. The tone of voice completely changes the meaning, even though the words are exactly the same. Let's listen again to Professor Crackle as he gives his advice about being civil.
If someone else is speaking, be quiet and listen to them. If you are walking with other people, stay with them. Don't try to get out in front. If you are trying to talk to other people, talk to them in a proper tone of voice, in a proper volume.
Next, the good professor is going to talk about how the world has changed recently, at least in his view. Civil behavior doesn't seem to be as important as it used to. Many people aren't interested in being civil, he says. Let's listen as he describes some of the reasons why this situation might have changed.
We seem to become increasingly busy, always on the go, doing things. It's interesting that technology has caused part of this. Life was a little slower paced. Courtesies may have been a little bit easier to live by at that point in time. But life has gotten more complex in some ways and certainly more rushed. I think that has had a detrimental effect on our civility.
Let's go back and explain what the professor says here. He begins by saying that we seem to be becoming increasingly busy in life. We're always doing things, and we're always on the go. The phrase on the go means busy, having a lot of things to do, not having time to rest or to take a break between activities. Last week, there was one day when I was really on the go because I had to do a lot of work, clean the house, run some errands, make phone calls, and other things. I could say that I was on the go all day, and I didn't have any time to rest until late at night. Professor Crackle says that it's interesting that technology is one of the reasons we are always on the go. He says technology has caused part of this. Back in George Washington's time, back at the end of the 18th century, life was a little slower paced. Pace, P-A-C-E, is the rate or speed at which something happens. We say modern life is fast paced, with many things to do. There are many things going on. Life moves quickly. In the past, he says that life perhaps used to be a little slower paced, and people had more time between activities to relax, think, and talk to other people. The professor says that courtesies may have been a little easier to live by in the past. Courtesies are things that are polite and nice that you do for another person. Saying please and thank you is an example of a courtesy. It's also a courtesy to send a thank you note when someone gives you a gift. When life was slower paced then, there was more time for these courtesies. He says courtesies may have been a little easier to live by, meaning to actually do, to put into practice. He then says life has gotten more complex in some ways, and certainly more rushed. To become more complex means to be more complicated. There are more things that are happening. To be rushed means to be in a hurry. If someone says, I'm really rushed right now, that means I have to go, I have to leave, or I have many things to do and I don't have time to talk to you. That's often how it's used anyway. The professor says that all of this has had a detrimental effect on our civility. Detrimental is a negative or damaging effect. For example, many of the things that humans do may have detrimental effects on our natural environment. Driving cars, like everyone does here in Los Angeles, has a detrimental effect on our air because it pollutes the air. It sends things into the atmosphere, into the air that are not clean and that we end up breathing. This is not healthy. This is a detrimental effect. That's the way it is to live in Los Angeles. Some people say that living in LA is detrimental to your health, meaning it is bad for your health. In the same way, today's faster pace of life has a detrimental effect on our civility because we no longer have time for these courtesies anymore. Let's listen to the professor one more time.
We seem to become increasingly busy, always on the go, doing things. It's interesting that technology has caused part of this. Life was a little slower paced. Courtesies may have been a little bit easier to live by at that point in time. But life has gotten more complex in some ways and certainly more rushed. I think that has had a detrimental effect on our civility.
Finally, the professor is going to talk about things that happen now that he considers to be the opposite of civility. We could describe them as being uncivil, not civil, or rude. He'll give some examples, and then we'll once again go back and explain what he says.
I think everybody is a bit put off by people who carry on loud cell phone conversations in areas where you're sort of a captive audience to what they're talking about to someone else. Also, I see people walking down sidewalks, taking up the entire sidewalk, and really not wanting to give way to people coming the other direction. Sort of an analog to the driving, too. They do the same thing on the road. Sometimes feel that wherever their car is on the road, that's for their part of the road, and not giving really consideration to people that are sharing the space with them.
He begins by saying that he thinks everybody is a bit or somewhat put off by people who carry on loud cell phone conversations. To be put off by someone or something means to be bothered, annoyed, or frustrated by that person or thing. For example, you might be put off by your coworker, someone you work with, if he asks you to do some of his work for him. Or you might be put off if someone cuts in front of you while you're standing in line at the bank. To cut in front means to go in front of you, even though you were there first. These are things that would put off many people. He's saying that everybody is a bit put off by people who carry on, who conduct loud cell phone conversations in areas where you're sort of a captive audience. Your sort of means you are kind of a captive audience. A captive is a word we use to talk about someone who is held in one place and cannot move, sort of like a prisoner. Animals in a zoo could also be considered captive because they're in cages, they're in places where they can't leave. A captive audience is a group of people who have to listen to you and don't have any choice. That's a common expression. We're a captive audience, meaning we can't leave, we can't move, or we're forced to be here somehow and listen to you. In this case, he's talking about people who carry on loud cell phone conversations. For example, when you're at the airport waiting for a plane, or you're in a restaurant eating your meal, or you're at a cafe having a cup of coffee, you're there in a public space and someone is carrying on a private conversation. Now, of course, you can leave, technically, it would be possible in some cases, but the idea is that you did not come there to listen to their phone conversation. And most people are put off by that sort of thing. I know I am. It's one of the things that drives me absolutely crazy. I grew up in a time where there was something called a phone booth, B-O-O-T-H. A phone booth is a small box that had a public phone that you could pay to make a phone call. But the phone booth was something that was closed. You couldn't usually hear very well. It was like your own little room. Now, with everyone having cell phones, there aren't really phone booths left. At least I haven't seen one in many years. The opposite problem now is that everyone carries on their phone conversations, their private phone conversations, in front of everyone else. As you can see, this is a particular annoyance that I have, something I'm put off by. But enough about me. Let's go back to Professor Crackle. He says that he sees other examples of uncivil behavior. He says, I see people walking down sidewalks, walking on the sidewalk, taking up the entire sidewalk. The sidewalk is a part next to a street or road where you can walk without having to walk in the street. So he sees people walking down the sidewalk, taking up the entire sidewalk. The phrase to take up here means to use all of something and not leave anything for other people. Your older sister, for example, might take up too much room in the bathroom that you share, not leaving anywhere for you to put your things. In the same way, some people take up the entire sidewalk. They don't leave room for anyone else to walk by them. Professor Crackle says that these people don't want to give way to people coming from the other direction. The phrase to give way to someone means to let someone have room to do something, especially to walk by or to pass by someone. If someone doesn't want to give way to another person on a sidewalk, he or she makes it impossible for the other person to pass without stepping off of the sidewalk, perhaps onto the grass or onto the street. So this is another example of rude behavior. Certainly, I see this all the time here in Los Angeles, in most big cities. I think this is quite common, unfortunately, nowadays. It's sort of an analog to the driving, he says. The driving meaning the situation of driving. An analog, A-N-A-L-O-G or A-N-A-L-O-G-U-E, is something that is similar to something else. The way that you treat your employees might be an analog to the way you treat your children, if you treat them in the same way. We have another word, analogy, which comes from the same root, the same basic idea of something that is similar to something else. According to the good professor, the way that people take up the whole sidewalk and don't give way to other people is similar to, it's an analog to, the way that we drive, because people do the same thing on the road, on the street, when they are in their cars. Again, this is especially true here in Los Angeles. People sometimes feel that wherever their car is on the road, that's their part of the road, even if it's on the wrong part of the road. They don't let other people or other cars share that space with them. It can be very difficult to find a driver, for example, when you are driving down the freeway or the highway, that will let you go in front of them, that will allow you to move in front of them, in front of their car. That's one of the problems of not having civility. The professor says that people are not giving consideration to other people. To give consideration to means to consider, to think about the other person, and to allow them to do what they want to do, not just what you want to do. Let's listen to Professor Crackle give these examples one more time.
I think everybody is a bit put off by people who carry on loud cell phone conversations in areas where you're sort of a captive audience to what they're talking about to someone else. Also, I see people walking down sidewalks, taking up the entire sidewalk, and really not wanting to give way to people coming the other direction. Sort of an analog to the driving, too. They do the same thing on the road. Sometimes feel that wherever their car is on the road, that's for their part of the road, and not giving really consideration to people that are sharing the space with them.
I think we can all learn to be a little more civil in our lives, no matter where you live, no matter who you are. Now let's answer a few of your questions. Our first question comes from Zeng Fang, Zeng Fang. And also, we have the same question from Mark in Russia. I'm not sure where Zeng Fang is from. The question that they both have is the difference between sour and tart. What is the difference between sour, S-O-U-R, and tart, T-A-R-T? Both of these describe a kind of taste, something that you would sense in your mouth, on your tongue. Sour is food that has an acidic taste, like a lemon, for example. Sometimes sour can be rather unpleasant. Sometimes sour describes food that has gone bad, food that has spoiled, especially a liquid such as milk. You could say, I don't like this orange, it's too sour. Or, this cream has gone sour. In talking about fruit, the opposite of sour is often sweet. You could say these oranges are very sweet. They're not sour. Tart can sometimes mean the same as sour. Often, however, tart, although it is acidic and a sharp taste, is considered pleasant. Not always, but often, tart is not necessarily an unpleasant thing, whereas sour is almost always an unpleasant thing. Tart as an adjective can also mean sharp or insulting. His tart remark hurt her feelings. That's not as common, however, of usage. Tart as a noun is a kind of pie, but it's a pie that doesn't have a top on it, what we would call a top crust, C-R-U-S-T. A pie usually has crust made with, for example, butter and flour, and then inside the pie you put fruit, for example, if it were an apple pie. Normally you also put a crust on the top of it to cover the pie, but a tart would be a pie that did not have a top crust on it. Finally, there's an expression to go sour. When we say something goes sour, we mean that it has become worse. It has gotten worse. It has become bad. It's gone from a good situation to a bad situation. My relationship with my brother went sour after I told him he couldn't use my car, for example. Our next question comes from Assane, A-S-S-A-N-E, from Senegal. Assane wants to know what the expression, "this thing is king," means in English. What does it mean to say that something is king? Well, king is the head of a country, of a state, of a nation. Usually it's a title that is inherited. So if your father was king, you could become king. It's what we call royalty. If it is a woman, we call that person the queen. But the expression, something is king, is used to describe something that is the best, the most important, the most powerful, the most respected. There is not an expression, something is queen, however, at least not with this meaning. There's an old expression from American history that in the American South in the 19th century, cotton was king. The plant, cotton, was the most important plant in the agriculture of the American South. So you would say cotton was king. Finally, Ibrahim, I-B-R-A-H-I-M, in Venezuela, would like to know the difference between thorough and comprehensive. Both of these can mean roughly the same thing. Thorough means complete, leaving nothing out. The doctor did a thorough job when he looked at me, when he examined me. He examined every part of me. He was very thorough. Comprehensive means complete, but the idea is more of a broad range of knowledge or ideas. The encyclopedia is a comprehensive collection of information. It contains all of the important information that you might need. You might say, I need comprehensive insurance. I need something that takes care of everything, that is complete. The word thorough is usually used to describe a task or a job. Comprehensive is more common in formal, business-related, or technical situations. If everything, for example, is in a document, in the pieces of paper that you are giving someone, such as your boss, if everything is included, you would say it's comprehensive. You probably wouldn't say it's thorough. If you make thorough into an adverb by adding an ly at the end, it means very, in a complete way. I am thoroughly happy with my gift that I got from my mother. I am completely happy. I'm thoroughly happy. You wouldn't say comprehensively happy, however. So the differences depend on the context. It's hard to give an exact rule for every case, however. If you have a question or comment, will try to give you a thorough answer here on The English Cafe. You can email us at ESLPOD@ESLPOD.com. From Los Angeles, California, I'm Jeff McQuillan. Thank you for listening. Come back and listen to us next time on The English Cafe. ESL Podcast's English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan and Dr. Lucy Say. Copyright 2009 by the Center for Educational Development.